This is pretty spectacular. This is your first book, A Life Worth Breathing, which I had an opportunity to skim through, and I'm very inspired by it, Max.
Thank you very much, Serena. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into yoga? Where did the passion come from?
I became interested in spirituality when I was in high school. I was a football player and a weightlifter, but I started asking the questions in life, you know, what is this life? Why are we here, et cetera? But I didn't actually discover yoga until I was 35 years old and I was dragged by a friend. The way most people go to yoga, they think that maybe it's a cult or it's you know, it's something that they're not going to like, and or it's just a stretch class. And then a friend drags them, and that's what happened to me. And then you discover that there's a lot more to it, and that the body and the mind and emotions are not really separate. So when you work with your body and breathing in this way, you feel different emotionally and mentally as well.
Mm-hmm. And if you're just tuning in to Clear 101.7 with me, Max Strom, we're here talking about his book, A Life Worth Breathing, A Yoga Master's Handbook of Strength, Grace, and Healing. And I find it very interesting that you were becoming aware enough in high school to kind of ask those questions. Mm-hmm. And so then I guess that's where you develop this lifelong passion. To start so early, most people would think high school, you know, you're all about girls and weightlifting and football.
You're right, but I just had, I don't know, maybe everything just converged in my life at the right time for me to really start looking at the world with open eyes and asking the big questions of, okay, what happens when we die? You know, people do die, and what happens after that? And what's our purpose here? Because obviously it isn't just to play football and to date people. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but what's deeper than that? And so I started asking those questions. I studied a lot of different spiritual and philosophical texts in those days because I was brought up in an atheist household. And so I had no spiritual or religious mentoring at all. So I was on my own. Partly bad news, partly good news. The good news is I had a clear mind, a blank slate, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I studied everything I could get my hands on.
And you went on to share that knowledge that you have absorbed and you've taught others. You are an internationally renowned yoga teacher. Do you still have your yoga studio, or did you?
I moved away from Los Angeles about 4 years ago to Ashland, Oregon. I sold my center then because I had so many invitations to travel and teach my work in other cities in the world that I finally decided that I think my gift is more in teaching and not in being an administrator. So I sold the center and started traveling. And last year I was in 9 countries and 40 cities.
Wow.
So I'm traveling quite a bit, maybe a little bit too much at the moment.
You're doing a good thing. You're spreading the word and you're teaching other people about the joys and the wonder of yoga and everything that goes along with it. I mean, how you can heal your body in so many ways with just breathing.
Yes, thank you. I know. And when people hear about breathing, it's people get confused because they think, well, I'm breathing now, and that's not changing me. But it's like, well, we're alive now, we're sitting in a chair now, but that doesn't mean we're doing the optimal work that we
right.
can do on our body.
You're sitting there, you're breathing, but are you really living?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So as I say in the book, it's really about personal transformation, becoming a happier, healthier person with a more meaningful life. You know, in this world right now, we have, in America alone, over 30 million people existing on antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs, and over almost 60 million people using sleep aid drugs every night. We're the richest country in the world. We have all these time-saving devices. We have everything we need to entertain us, but this is skyrocketing, the statistics. For instance, depression medicine has doubled in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something that we're not getting in our culture.
But
we have too many people that are not happy.
Right. But the thing of it is, though, which I think you and I kind of understand, and a large portion of our audience, but there's some people that are listening that don't understand that we have that ability within ourselves.
Yes.
We don't need all these electronics and things to teach us, or the pills.
That's exactly right, Serena. There's a lot that we can do. I mean, certainly some people who are taking a medication are clinically depressed, and they should be taking it. But I know a lot of people, I've met them myself, where they lose their job or they get a divorce, and so they instantly medicate themselves without even going to therapy. So they're not really dealing with how to integrate their emotions or deal with them or heal them. They're just covering them up. And I think that that's sad.
It is.
So what we offer in the book is what's called the three pillars of yoga. And it really surpasses yoga, Serena. It's, people think of yoga mostly, they think of a stretch class. But the ideas in this book really are present in Christianity. They're present in Judaism. They're present in Buddhism and Taoism. If you study them all, you can see that many of the techniques offered and many of the ideas are virtually the same. And one of the main keys is that the body and the mind and the emotions are not really separate. They really aren't. For example, when we are upset, let's say, depressed, we experience it in our body. We start wanting to sleep all the time, shut the drapes. We don't want to talk to people. We become lethargic. If we're angry, we know what that looks like. We turn red face. We start breathing haphazardly. We get white-knuckled. Our body experiences the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing when we fall in love, our body experiences that. We breathe deep and long. We have a smile on our face. We're totally relaxed. And when we're inspired, we experience that in our body. We jump up. We raise our arms in the air. We shout with joy. And so when we work on the body with certain techniques, such as yoga postures, breathing techniques, and things like that, by manipulating the body in a healing way, it has an effect on us emotionally and mentally. So it's not just about having long hamstrings at all. It really is a way of healing ourselves emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to say, I should forgive this person who harmed me. It's another thing to do it. And if we can release the negative emotions out of our body, then these things like forgiveness and compassion become possible.
Your book, A Life Worth Breathing, it offers up us all these aspects of how to work together our mind, emotions, and body, but it's also sort of a guidebook for living in many ways.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's what many people are calling it.
It's beautiful.
The book covers many of our emotional aspects that are often not covered in, certainly in your yoga class, but also in life. For instance, on the subject of forgiveness, one of the main reasons people do not forgive and hold grudges all their life is because they haven't really sat down and thought, what is forgiveness? What isn't forgiveness? And define it, look into it. And once people do that, and I offer steps in my book how to do that, then they understand what forgiveness is and they're more able to do it. When we feel, for instance, full of gratitude, we find we don't feel depressed. I know that sounds like a simple idea, but it escapes people all the time.
It does. We forget that.
And gratitude is one of the easiest emotions that we can access, and it's very powerful because you can't be grateful and angry at the same time.
Isn't that the truth?
So I'm at airports a lot, as I mentioned, and my flight was canceled, and I watched people all around me starting to throw fits and really getting angry, and I was getting irritated myself. But people around me were so upset that it made me calm down because I was getting kind of embarrassed for them because they were, you know, 50-year-olds acting like they were 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then a line out of my own book came to me, which was, you know, we can be upset or we cannot be upset, and it really is our choice. The flight's canceled, I can be upset about it, or the flight's canceled and I can be happy. Either way, the flight's canceled. I can't change that.
Exactly.
But what I do have power over is my own feelings.
Yes. That was a little lesson that I tried to instill in my kids. It says, you can't change what happened, but you sure can change how you react to it.
Precisely. You're a good mother.
Thanks.
Most parents don't teach ideas like that to their children, I would say. And it's wonderful that you're passing ideas like that down.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you have taken the time to put all of these things together in this wonderful book, A Life Worth Breathing, which is getting a lot of buzz, Max. People are talking about your book. You are going to change some lives out there.
Well, thank you. I feel that the best thing a person can do is to share their light with other people. And if we discover a tool that works, if I have a wrench that works, I'm going to tell all my friends, say, use this wrench. And then they're going to pass it on to their friends. And ultimately, these ideas are not new. Even when the Buddha came up with his ideas, they weren't new then either. These are ideas that are constantly rediscovered and passed on to our fellow man, fellow woman. book can help people. That's my my aim and my hope.
Well, I believe it will. I think that this is a wrench that I will pass on to our listeners. And I will encourage anyone to pick up this book because, as I said, I have gone through parts of the book to preview it, to talk to you. And I am so inspired. I cannot wait to sit down and completely absorb the book because to be reminded of these things, like you said, that we've known and that have been passed on from eons, but to be reminded of all of this, to be a healthier, more giving, forgiving, loving person, and then be healthy. I want to heal my heart, too. I want to make sure that it keeps on ticking.
Very good.
So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us here at Clear 101.7. We sure appreciate it. Max Strom, author of Life Worth Breathing. You should pick it up today. It's in stores today.
Thank you, Serena. It's my honor to speak with you.